All right. Well, we're going to start real quick and then have Doug bring that spreadsheet up and just do a quick review of our huddle board just to see if there's anything on it that we need to add or remember. I'm going to go over to, I can't tell you in October.
Maybe put a glass in the hole.
October, we're on October.
Okay. So September, if we did all the things that were on the list, we were doing good. So October, just the things that are listed there. I highlighted the board handbook thing because it's on our schedule for September, which I don't think we're done. I also highlighted board self-evaluation because it was supposed to be on the thing for August. So what do you guys want to do with those? Do we want to sign pieces out? Do you want to? Yeah. I do. Honestly, the handbook review is probably not a big deal. Just kind of everybody take a look at it and make sure it still makes sense and there's anything we want to add or subtract to it. And along with that, went through board goals and objectives, which kind of ties into the board and self-evaluation.
You know, I guess I'm really struggling with that because, I mean, to me, that wasn't our strategic planning because how do we know, just like teachers and everybody else, what we're really supposed to be, right? You know, where we don't really have a clear vision. So I don't know if we want to postpone this just a minute more until we finish our strategic planning portion. And then really, to me, that goes hand in hand, but I don't know how you guys feel about that.
Yeah. I said, I just brought them up because they were on our schedule right. For August and September, and we're in August and September. It's supposed to be online, but I don't know if it is or not. I'll make sure it is.
I'm not sure I've ever seen that. Not. Have we?
I've seen it.
I was going to say, we built it 3 or 4 years ago.
It's been a while.
You may not have, which might have been probably determined in my channel.
I have. I have.
I'll make sure it's.
We have a copy of that.
There's one.
So I would say maybe just look at it just to make sure that
nothing super busy,
super crazy. And then if we want to kind of move,
want to look at that, it's not enough.
And then, yeah, just maybe.
Say what you find, you're going to be thinking, maybe change, you're going to okay.
I would think so.
Like that? Okay.
Because obviously it's been a moment if it's still maybe 20 months from the time. Well, we looked at it a couple years ago, but maybe. Right? So let's do that. And then self-evaluation, maybe we'll just put that.
So I think last time we sent out our survey to them. Could we not?
I'm not sure if we ever did one on the board. But that is a strategic plan of this, but I do. We had all the questions that came from USDA. And I think at one point we went through them, but I don't know if we ever. Actually. Sent it out or not. So, we can write that one in this. All right, that's all I had on there. And then just remind everybody of the huddle board. So, if there's anything that comes up that you think of, stick on there so we can kind of keep track of what we're doing. It looks like October's pretty. I don't think there's anything terribly new. On there still listed the LA specific licensing. We have a first reading tonight, so that'll come up again in October just for final review. On there still a list of merit awards, so we go forward to continue. I'm sure Superintendent Pratt has notes about this for us. While that, there was a request to look at an activities pay, particularly for band. We've got to remember, you know, we're going to bring that up. The academic calendar will come up shortly. Strategic planning, Superintendent on that first going in October. And then we also need to remember we've got to tackle the contracts.
So just out of curiosity, did you have contacts at other districts that you work at?
Yeah, and so basically I had the one that was going to be with, and it seemed like, and we just took that one side for now, and then the rest is good. So that's just my bad. I mean, it didn't play a major game or anything.
Yeah.
Could you share just so we can get an idea of what we're doing?
I can, yeah. It's a public document, so.
Okay. We just need a generic kind of.
It's discoverable. Yeah, no, okay. I can get it to you. Might not like it, but it is.
Nice. We just unfamiliar, I guess.
No problem. I'm happy to help with that.
Yeah, we need to run around the actual content. Yeah. I think that's all I wanted to start with. And then I think the rest of our work meeting, the superintendent has some updates and stuff.
Very good. Thank you. And first thing I wanted to share was thank you to James and Kinsey for the policy work meeting we had at the committee. And I shared some things, I think, in one of my reports about our progress with that. But I wanted to make sure that we had clarity tonight, specific to the first reading and second reading, if you have any questions about that. So in future, at least this is what the media recommended. So we'll have a policy that's presented to the board that'll be presented at the first reading. That's the motion that needs to be made, is I'm moving to approve policy, XXX, whatever, and as a first reading. And if there's any discussion or anything along that, and that conferred that time, obviously. The reason for that is because I think that best practice would say you want to give 30 days for the public to comment on any policy, give you feedback, input. Staff might want to do the same, and these sorts of things. And that'll give you a window for it as you launch into approval. So the policy comes up again on the next month, for approval if you so choose. Even at first reading, you say, you know, we're not interested in that. We're going to table that. Same thing at second reading. But it just gives a period of time for people to be able to give us feedback, new feedback, on whether or not that policy is great or different. So that's some of what we discussed. We also talked about the scope of work that's in front of us with the policy amendment. I guess just to be brief, there is a lot of work that needs to be accomplished. There's not only the policy model policy that was sent to us from USBA, which is a lot, but our manual itself, we need to go through some things. Some of the policies are way back in the 90s. So in the beginning meetings, there's some in there. So it's time to renew and review and get these policies put into play that need to be. So for example, we took a look at the A-series policies. And those are some of the more older ones, if you will. The second policy in the A-series has to do with discrimination. And it's been a long, long time since that was addressed. And as we've gone through time, and OCR, Office of Civil Rights, and all these things that were required to do, there should have been some updates around those particular policies. So we'll want to deal with those pretty quick to make sure that we're not only aligned with what the expectations are, but we looked at them. So there's a lot of work. So part of this is I'm measuring to see what tolerance level the board has in terms of the number of policies that you'd like to review with them, because there's hundreds to go through. And it just kind of depends on the strategy that we use on these. We could do a large stack that are just easy and review and get those updated very quickly. And then there are others that are going to take some time because they need to have discussions. So some of that's what I'm trying to figure out is how many do you want to see each month? We want to deal with the ones that are critical that's coming from USDA that require a policy. And there are a number of policies that need to be addressed with laws that were passed just this last year. One, for instance, is the sensitive materials. There has to be a policy in play around that that's part of that law. And so we'll have to take a look at that scene. There are others. And so that's just an example. So I guess my piece on this is, again, just trying to make sure that I understand your will around the policy manual and making sure that we're working and walking the way that you want. I think the committee did well. Everything that we wanted to accomplish, we were able to accomplish. We met, I think, in a good amount of time. It was an hour. I try to keep those within an hour and try to get the work done that's necessary. So we're going to meet again. We're going to meet at least once a month. We're going to follow that policy that's in the manual as far as the committee works. You'll have recommendations that you'll have some good commentary about. So anyway, that's kind of my report specific to that. And the reason I want to talk about tonight is because my report is after you vote on these policies, so I wouldn't have had time to address those. Do you have any questions or any concerns about it? Great. I know I'm bumping up against time. This won't take very long. Wanted to pass this down. I hope I have enough. There is a very important item on the ballot come this November. It's a constitutional amendment change on how schools are funded. I'm sure you're aware that there's a vote that's being presented to the voters about not property tax, but income taxes and sales taxes. And this is a policy brief I just handed to you that was done and published by the University of Utah Policy Institute. And the title of it is Decoding the Income Tax Earmark, Proposed Changes to Utah's Constitution. And they've done a pretty good job. I think it's, I know it's a little bit, it's probably about as short as it could be, given the amount of information there. But this is significant. And I shared with our team earlier this week that in 2006, the state of Idaho chose to stop funding public education as much on property tax and chose to go to sales tax. And then that passed and went through, and the constitutional vote was 72% approval. Well, a couple of years later, what happened? The economy crashed. They had a stable funding source, and then they went into an extreme unstable funding source with the sales tax. And so schools were extremely impacted by that. And lots of struggle and lots of need to do different things. Anyway, I wanted to pass this out just to make you aware, but I also asked the question, this isn't a question to be answered, but I've been watching because I've gone through this in my career, and I understand what's before the voter, and I get people will have their own personal opinions about it, but the question that keeps running around with me is who's educating our public about what this is, and do they understand? Because we all know that public education funding is anything but simple. And most people don't understand how the dollar flows, let alone how it's generated in terms of taxation. And I worry about that. I worry about when the people are at the polls, this looks pretty good, I'm going to vote for it, but they don't understand the consequence at the end. I do, because I've been there. And so that's just something I present to you. I'm not suggesting that you vote one way or the other. I can't do that. And wouldn't, but I think it's important that our public understand that. So if you're asked questions, you have this policy brief, and if anybody asks me questions, I'll answer to the best of my ability too. But I still wonder who's really educating our public about this major change.
Do we know how that's going to be listed on the ballot, like the wording of the ballot?
I don't. I'd imagine that at the end of that ballot, there's several things that are going to be, and it's going to be a tremendously long ballot and lots of work. And so it'll be You saw right there.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. That's true. And we, the USDA, we voted on it. And the presentation from the JLC is that it's conditional approval. We approve it on conditions that they're not going to take time. So, and there are lots of ins and outs about it. This is really the issue I have. So.
All right, so that's all I have for the session tonight. I appreciate your giving me the time.
And then it is 7 o'clock, so let's go again.